Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have Luke Richardson coming up at 7:30, Predators assistant coach. Charles Robinson will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him, so looking forward to that. PK, the running game for the Titans is the worst in the league. They are averaging 78.9 yards per game running the football. That is the fewest amount of yards per game in the league. Tony Pollard has gone from 4.2 yards per carry last year. He's at 3.9 yards per carry this year. And most recently, this last Sunday, I think he and Spears combined for 14 carries for 25 yards. Had it not been for three carries for 33 yards from Cam Ward, who was their leading rusher, the rushing attack would have just been non-existent for the Titans on Sunday against the Texans. Now, I realize that Houston has, by the numbers, the number one defense in the NFL. Now, it probably helps those numbers when you've played the Titans twice so far this year. But the number one defense to this point in the NFL, we'll see them again tonight as they take on the Bills. My question for you, PK, is how is the Titans running game this bad? Because, like, Tony Pollard taking a step back, I think that's pretty clear. He's been bad. I know Spears was hurt earlier in the year. But they've also invested a lot of money and a lot of draft capital on the offensive line. And heading into the year, I looked at specifically the right side with Zeitler and with Latham and thought, you know, you ought to be able to probably run the ball the right side. Like, those guys should be able to run block pretty well. And for whatever reason, the Titans just cannot run the ball at all. They cannot run the football. Why? How has it gotten this bad where they can't run the ball at all?
Well, they're one of eight teams averaging under 4 yards a carry. So that is bad for sure. But the number one reason that they stink at running the ball is that they don't run the ball. They have 200 rushing attempts, second only to Cincinnati. They can't run the ball. They can't hand the ball off because they're always behind and because they're, they've gotten away from the penalties to some degree, but when you false start five times, you're in first and 15, second and 12, whatever. And they're always talking about being behind the sticks. And so they don't get themselves into situations where they can run. But they also lack juice. Look, Spears made a good play in this game, but it wasn't a running play. It was a screen. They got themselves out of a third and 14 or third and something team.
Which, to their credit, anytime a screen works this year,
yeah,
you stand in applause.
That was a real parade event because they're not a good screen team either. So they take away the run game and the screen game, and you've narrowed things down nicely for defenses to be able to focus on other stuff. Only 40 first downs by rush. I mean, that is league low. They just don't have it. I don't feel like the line is a terrible run-blocking line, but the numbers dictate otherwise. I think Pollard's juice is high on the list of reasons for me. I don't know what his long run is now, but for he had one big 26 or 27 one at one point. But
his long rush this year is 21 yards.
Yeah. But on average, like if he breaks through the line of scrimmage, he goes for 10 or 11 yards. There's no real threat of him getting into the secondary and threatening a field flipping run play. And I think we all agree that Spears has more juice, but Spears in the middle of the field is not an appealing runner either. You've got to get him to the edge and in space. And I just think he's more of a pass-catching running back to me. That screen is an example. Like, and if you could get him one-on-one with guys, he's not going to get taken down easily. But if he's in a crowd of people, he's going to get taken down easily.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would hate to see them spend a big value pick on a running back. But if you look at the history of this team, they didn't find Earl Campbell, Eddie George, Chris Johnson, or Derrick Henry in the middle of the draft.
Right.
Or as undrafted rookies. Those are big-time picks with big-time value. If they think they have to find a guy like that with that level of pick to be that kind of team again, well, we're just adding to this very, very lengthy menu of things that they need.
Well, we just talked about, you know, receiver coming up. And look, if I had to pick between the two, I'd still rather the Titans draft a high-level receiver than a running back. But, I mean, the name that's going to come up is Jeremiah Love out of Notre Dame, who's going to go in the first round. I don't know where in the first round he's going to go, but he's going to go in the first round.
It can't be him.
And I'm with you. But to your point, I mean, you look at the history of this organization when they've been a winning team, and I know Titans fans don't want to hear this because they want the quarterback to be the answer, and I get it. But we've talked about this at the time. There are a couple other organizations that you can stack up. You know, the Steelers are on that list. The Rams are on that list. But, you know, that foursome of Campbell, George, Johnson, and Henry, that's pretty darn good when it comes to running backs. And like you said, they're all relatively high picks, right? So I know it's a different game. You can find running backs via free agency. You can find running backs in middle rounds that come in and are very productive for you. And I think that's probably the route the Titans should go. But I know this, regardless of the route they go, if they don't run the football better than this, Cam Ward ain't going to make it. You have to have a running game with your quarterback.
How about this? This is a strategy I'm going to propose. Tell me what you think. Do the Pollard thing again and just be a short-term running back team. So until you can stabilize the roster through multiple drafts and get in position to draft a Derrick Henry or a Chris Johnson, late first, early second or third round, let's say, do what you did with Tony Pollard. Get a guy at the beginning of a second contract and only expect – you got to expect 2 years out of him. Out of Pollard, you got 1 year.
Yep.
Last year is pretty good. Breece Hall is the guy now,
yep.
Right? And you've got a ton of cap money, right? So you don't have to worry, I don't think, about paying Breece Hall whatever market value is. I'm looking here. The ESPN early report about the best free agents say, think Josh Jacobs' four-year, $48 million deal signed in March of 2024. If you give Breece Hall a front-loaded four-year, $48 million deal that's not fully guaranteed, which I'm sure Josh Jacobs isn't.
Yeah.
This is Jeremy Fowler wrote this. I'd be absolutely fine with that. If Breece Hall is healthy and you think Breece Hall fits what you're trying to do in terms of running style, bang. Anything you could solve in free agency that keeps you away from the draft and running back is a spot where there are probably more that are going to come to fruition because teams recycle backs. And the Jets are probably saying, hey, thanks, Breece Hall. Now we're going to go spend a pick on a back. And the Jets are a bad team, but their draft needs list is probably – nobody's draft need list is what the Tennessee Titans draft need list is.
Yeah.
So go get Breece Hall or whoever, you know, the next best back is. I'm scrolling here. It takes a while for one to come up.
ETN is going to be on the list. I think ESPN came out and ranked their top 25 free agents the other day, and they've got Hall up there near the top. ETN's the next back they've got. There are going to be a couple guys on the list that you could go get.
There's a handful of unrestricted free agent running backs coming up. The list is not terrible.
Yeah.
J.K. Dobbins, Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall.
Yeah.
Rico Dowdle, Javonte Williams, Travis Etienne, Najee Harris.
And a lot of those guys are...
Rico Dowdle, when he's healthy.
Yeah.
There's a when he's healthy on a lot of these guys.
Well, that's the story of running back. I mean, it goes back to the plan of attack for Borgonzi. I am totally with you. I would be... I know Jeremiah Love is probably going to end up being a really good player in the NFL.
It's a luxury item for the Titans.
Yeah, if the Titans took him, then... I mean, he would help. But there are so many other needs and positions that they got to have, and receivers at the top of that list, that I would not like to see them do that. I mean, I guess unless you get some haul for the first overall pick and you end up having a couple of first-round picks and an early second to choose from there, then I don't know. But it just – Borgonzi, the idea on the offensive side of the ball needs to be this offseason. How can we make life – as easy as possible for our quarterback and year number two. And running back absolutely has to be a part of that decision-making process. So I'm all in on the free agent running back. I mean, the idea that they're going to trot Spears out there as running back one next year cannot happen.
I don't know if that's gathered any steam among fans. It shouldn't. He is not a number one running back. Now, what the problem is that they overdraft role players. And so some fans then figure, well, based on him being a third rounder, he should be more. Well, yeah, they have to draft guys in the third round who are more than situational running back.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. I got a mini Rob rant coming up next before we get to Luke Richardson. Coming up at 7:30, there's something that's been going on for a while that has been highlighted again this week with the Titans that just continues to blow my mind. We will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Luke Richardson, Predators assistant coach, will join us coming up here in a few minutes at 7:30. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. I do want to address something real quickly before I get to my mini Rob rant on the YouTube chat from Fast Eddie. How many Super Bowls did we get with all those Hall of Fame caliber running backs that we've had? So are we just supposed to avoid good running backs because the Titans haven't won a Super Bowl with one? Like you don't think prime Derrick Henry could help this team right now? You don't think Eddie George, Chris Johnson good players on this team? I understand the idea.
Did LaDainian Tomlinson win a Super Bowl? Did Walter Payton? Did Curtis Martin?
Well, who says that you've got to turn around and hand the ball to the guy 35 times a game? Is it not possible to have a pretty darn good running back and also hope that your number one pick at quarterback eventually turns into that guy and leads the way on offense?
You don't have to be one or the other.
Yeah. I mean, we're not avoiding good running back play around here because the Titans didn't win a Super Bowl with Derrick Henry. Like, it's absurd.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's just let's get as many good players on the offense as possible, regardless of what position they play.
Five good skill players.
That'd be nice. Let's work toward that. The Xavier Restrepo thing, we're getting out of control with this thing, and it's been out of control all year, PK. I know you're probably sick of talking about it. I'm sick of talking about it to the point where I almost wish they'd just throw him out there on the field and we can get this thing over with at this point if you're the Titans. I have never in my life seen so much attention, media attention, given to an undrafted wide receiver before in my life. And I understand he played with Cam Ward, okay? I get it. He played with Cam Ward, and that's great. The NFL has told you, not just the Titans, the NFL has told you what they think about this guy. Nobody drafted him. He was put on the Titans practice squad. Nobody claimed him. And here he is. He couldn't get on the field over Mason Kinsey. Signable all season. Nobody's gotten him. And you think that, just throw Restrepo out there and Cam's going to find his number one target. Like, it's kind of absurd, some of the conversation around this guy and how much of it there is.
Yeah. Walter Payton did win a Super Bowl. That was bad by me. He didn't get the touchdown because Ditka was obsessed with the fridge. Restrepo, look, just what do you think is going to happen? I think people think that they're going to put Restrepo on the field and he's going to have like a 100-yard game off a practice squad. Like, what's the biggest contribution you've ever seen from a practice squad skill position player?
I don't know.
Like fair catching punts?
Yeah. How many snaps is he going to play? Like 15 snaps? If they did put him out there, maybe?
Plus, the guy whose name we're not speaking today said yesterday, you know, given a choice between keeping slots in the slot or using outside people outside, you know, well, if I have to put a slot in two spots, I'd do that, but I'd rather keep slots in slots. So this goes to a roster construction issue.
Yeah.
Now, I understand, you know, a bad team can only do the best it can, but this team started the season with Tyler Lockett, Chim Dike, James Prochet, Mason Kinsey, and Xavier Restrepo. That's five slot receivers. Now, DK's expanded his envelope, and Lockett's gone. But you can't have that many slot receivers. And they conceivably, on Sunday, could have as 3, 4, and 5, Prochet, Kinsey, and Restrepo, who are all the same guy.
Yeah.
Prochet, the most versatile amongst them, by the way.
Yeah. No, it's wild. And again, you know, they've run into now some bad health on the wide receiver front, which happens throughout the course of a season. And it's tough for Ward, particularly with Ridley going down the rest of the year. I mean, their receiving core was bad with him, and it's real bad without him. So it's bad. Like, it's not a good situation. Look, I guess I hope for Titans fans Restrepo gets out there so we can finally just get this over and shut up. But, like, some of the expectation with this guy, it's like, well, the one thing that's been holding the Titans offense back all year is the familiarity from college from Cam Ward and Xavier Restrepo. And you know, the whole media was in there yesterday talking to the guy. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, it's an undrafted wide receiver.
The other ridiculous thing is the entire city thinks that the franchise has mismanaged this guy. But if they get him in uniform on Sunday, they will manage him beautifully. They will deploy him perfectly.
That's a good point. Yeah.
It's amazing how the transformation is going to happen.
Been holding him back all year, and now he'll be used perfectly on Sunday.
The whole game plan is going to key around.
It's amazing. A lot of people love your Breece Hall idea for the Titans to get the running back part of this going. And we'll see what happens on that front. We got Keith on the text line asking if you're excited about the questions from the media of what's your favorite Thanksgiving dish going to be next week.
This will only be the second time in my life, in my professional football coverage life, that I am going to miss some work in exchange for some family. So my entire family, which is pretty widespread around the country, California, South Carolina, Seattle, is gathering in New Jersey. We did not do anything for my mother's 90th birthday, unfortunately. We are going to her. She is being presented with the newest great-grandchild who very few of us have met. And I and my family and I are participating in that. So I am not going to be around to hear Thanksgiving food favorites.
I know you hate to do that. I hate to miss that.
I also think that I've shamed virtually every TV reporter in town out of doing it.
I hope so. We'll see next week. Somebody asking if you think the Titans should, quote, overpay for George Pickens this offseason.
George Pickens, people are not getting it. If you think that Mike Borgonzi had a problem with Jarvis Brownlee and sent him out of town, and he's going to overpay to bring the weird George Pickens in a cultural build, you are missing it. I will get this on wax. George Pickens, I guarantee, is not going to be a Tennessee Titan.
It's a guarantee from PK. No George Pickens.
Put that on wax. Titans.
Put it on wax. It's not happening out there. Yeah, I mean, first off, I'm really interested to see what happens with him.
I'm shocked he's been as good as he's been.
Yeah, like I really am. He's been pretty good in Dallas. You know, he's only 24, so there's a lot, you know, from an ability and an age standpoint, there's a lot to like. I mean, he's got 58 catches for 908 yards and 7 touchdowns right now this year. He's playing really well. Now, who is going to I don't think it's going to be Jerry. I don't think it's going to be the Cowboys. So who is going to end up paying him the amount of money that I think he might get this offseason? That is going to be really interesting. I'm with you. I don't think that's going to be the Titans.
I mean, there will be probably two bidding against each other. Teams that think they're a veteran wide receiver away who have a culture that can handle him.
Yeah.
The question is, will he go there and do what he's doing, or is he earning his money right now and then he'll turn back into the bad side of George Pickens? Yeah, here's the thing.
Great question.
You know, I understand Pittsburgh moving on, but they went and got themselves a receiver that they thought would be a better citizen and a better version, and they haven't used DK Metcalf.
He's got 37 catches on the year.
Yeah. That's a disappointment. And this is an Arthur Smith thing to a degree. I think he's got a lot of control on that offense. In Atlanta, he didn't get the ball to his prime people. And now in Pittsburgh, there's a prime person that he's not getting the ball to. Arthur, come on.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you. And, you know, it, by the way, it's a team that at different times this year probably need to just feature him a lot because the offense was stuck in the mud. Now, they played well last week. We'll see how they do against Chicago on Sunday.
And I shouldn't just say Arthur. I mean, Aaron Rodgers sure has override capability there. Yeah. And if he wants to get it to a guy, he can get it to a guy. That chemistry needs to be better.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll be joined by Preds assistant coach Luke Richardson coming up next. We got the rant coming up at 7:45. Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. After traveling to Sweden, Preds are back in town, and they will take on the Colorado Avalanche on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators assistant coach Luke Richardson to the program. Luke, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. What's the last week or so been like for you, going over to Sweden, playing a couple of games there, and then making your way back to North America? Are we completely caught up on rest yet? How are we doing?
Yeah, you know what? The league will organize it where we get a few days off when we get home. So hopefully the guys got some rest Monday and Tuesday. We were back at real good hard practice yesterday. Guys were in great spirits, so it looks like they got a lot of rest. And, you know, hopefully we can take not just like, you know, we got a real good 2 points, hard-fought overtime win against Pittsburgh in the first game. A little disappointing drop in the second game. We just couldn't find that net. But you know what? It's a great time to be away. There's no distractions except all team, 100% team. So hopefully we can take a little bit of that team building mentality out of that trip and that hard fought first win and bring that home and try and find that little bit of more consistency that we've been looking for this year.
So Luke, Stamkos has started to get going a little bit. We've seen a couple of one-timers fall for him. Obviously he gets the game winner in overtime last week in Sweden. What are you seeing from him right now? And if you can get him going in the goal scoring department, how big a deal will that be for your group?
Yeah, you know what? I think the whole team has had a slow start on the production side. We've had a lot of great chances. You know, I mean, it just hasn't fallen our way. But I like our spirit. We're keep going after it. And a guy like Stamkos has scored a few goals here lately, and that's the determination that he shows as a veteran, and obviously knows how to score goals. So hopefully he can lead us in that direction, helping himself, you know, get on the board some more, but also the team. And I think the big thing when you watch him lately is his work away from the puck. He's back checking hard. He's, you know, covering up for a D pinch. Like, he's doing all those extra things, which when you do that, I think a lot of times it puts you in good defensive position, but then also you're on top of them. So if we turn pucks over, you're coming downhill and you're good offensive position. So hopefully that him doing all the right things right now is going to lead to more opportunities. And you know, when he gets opportunities, it's going to start to go for him.
So Luke, I mean, obviously when you're missing a guy like Josi on the back end, that's a huge deal for any team. He's back out on practice right now. How big a deal will that be? Whether it's Saturday, whether it's in the not too distant future for him to be back, what do you think that can unlock with your group?
You know what? There's no excuses in sports, but unfortunately for us, you know, we need everybody every night, and that's just where our team is at. And unfortunately, we start off the year without Haig, you know, a new free agent defenseman, and that puts a big guy behind the eight ball, missing basically most of the exhibition games. And then the first game he slotted back is when we lost Josi. So it was like one in, one out. It'll be really nice to have like the whole core together, see what they can do. Obviously, it'll take maybe a game or two for Jost to find his timing. But, you know, he's such a great athlete and his skating ability is just going to help us. We've been in so many close games this year that I think that one extra player, the two extra players, and we can't forget Cole Smith up front. Like, what a speedster and determined defensive player on the penalty kill and everywhere we're missing him. If we can add those two players over the next few weeks and hopefully stay healthy and not lose anybody, hopefully those one-goal losses are starting to turn into one-goal wins. And I think just that little bit of help can put us over the hump.
So, Luke, I mean, you've been around the league for a long time. You've seen, you know, all different situations that the league has to offer. You know, there's the 20-game mark. It's the first time really this season that you guys have had an opportunity to breathe a little bit just based on the way the schedule has laid out to this point. So where are the guys right now? You mentioned it. I mean, 6 wins in the first 20 games. Nobody's happy with that to this point in the production. But where are guys as you watch them right now mentally? How is everything going from that standpoint?
Yeah, you know what? I think this week was a good week to take a step back and analyze and evaluate where we are at and how we've played. There's been a lot of good hockey. Unfortunately, we've just landed on the lost side on too many occasions where there was some goal. I think there was some games that were, maybe we were just one mistake away from getting to overtime or getting the win. And you know what? I think we've had good discussions about it. Like, I think we still believe in ourselves. The players, and most importantly, believe in themselves. And that's what we took out of yesterday's practice. A lot of hard work and determination, and excited to be back and try and take a step forward after this trip that we just had. So, you know, I like the determination and the no quit attitude on our team. Unfortunately, in pro sports, as you know, and everybody knows, you have to have results. And now we're going to start to push and demand some results from each other. And I think that's what we have to do. And as a team, and I'm sure the fans would appreciate that if we can get a few more wins, especially at home here on the board. So that's really our goal over the next 20 games. Can we do better than the first 20 games? And if we can, I think that's a step forward. Unfortunately, you know, I mean, we're in a bit of a hole right now, so you have to do more than just a little bit better, but we have to take that first step. It's a process. And I think, you know, the good positive attitude, the no quit attitude is definitely a step in the right direction in the process. Now we have to take that next step.
Luke, last thing for you here. I mean, Barry Trotz made no secret about it this summer. You know, there's a lot that was going to be placed on Svechkov specifically. And we saw some good things from him in his rookie year last year. The production just hasn't come to this point. And you're talking about a 22-year-old player who's still really young. What are you seeing from him right now? And when the production isn't there, how much with a younger player especially do you kind of have to guard against the losing of confidence? How do you guys coach him through that when the points just aren't coming early in his career?
Yeah, no, it's tough. You definitely have to handle every player differently. That's the way the world is, and especially the sports world is right now. And you know what? But it is pro sports. And I think you have to guide and help them as much as you can. But you want to make sure that you're spending the right amount of time showing them the right amount of positive clips, some teaching clips to get better, especially as young players. Give them some players that you think that they would emulate out on the ice as older players that are having success, and get them to watch some of their clips and games, even from other teams. And that's a good way to help a young player to find his groove, find what works for him, what doesn't, and build his game. And unfortunately, it's not a developmental league, so it's really hard for young players to do that. It's learn on the fly, and there's some hard lessons along the way. And you could see it in every sport, every year, that sophomore year is probably the toughest. The first year you're coming in, you're young, you're excited, and you use that energy in a positive way. The second year, there's more expectations. People know who you are, and they know how to check you a little bit better. And it's hard for a young player, that's the first time that's happened to them, to get away from that. So there's a learning process there. So you know what? You just help the young player as much as possible. And you know what? Players have to have that self-determination with some good guidance from whether it's mentors as teammates or coaching staff or giving them, like I said, even players that they would emulate on other teams to watch, and give them some clips to try and help them to implement and practice to put it into their game plan. But definitely, it's always concerning when a young guy's not putting numbers up on the board if you're counted on to be an offensive player. But the big part is he doing his defensive job. If you're not scoring, the biggest thing that you learn as a young player is you don't get scored against. And I think that could be a good first step for him. And then you just chip away at the offense. You got to make sure you just throw as many pucks on net as you can, even bad angle goals. Sometimes it's just the one that goes in off your shin pad that gets you on the roll, and that's what we're hoping for him.
Well, Luke, I really appreciate your time as always. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, and we will see you this weekend as you're back in action at Bridgestone Arena.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Yep, Luke Richardson, our guest here on the program. Preds back in action on Saturday, taking on the Colorado Avalanche, who at this point in the year have lost one game in regulation. They are 13-1-5. So thrown right back into the fire are the Nashville Predators coming up on Saturday, taking on the best team in the league.
That's not a lot of losses.
Not very many.
That's my analysis.
Not very many. As George on the YouTube chat points out, the Titans are 32nd in the league. The Predators are 31st in the league right now.
It's a hell of a time to be Vanderbilt.
Yeah, it is. It is. Big opportunity for Vanderbilt coming up. I don't know. We had our pre-show meeting. Is Ian Safar losing some faith in Vanderbilt?
I'm starting to worry. Yeah.
I'm contemplating going to this game.
Okay.
What are you contemplating? You should go.
Well, I've been
looking at... It's the last home game of the season, and you're a Vandy fan now.
I've been looking at ticket prices, Ian. I've been talking to my boy. I haven't talked to my wife. She'll love that if she's listening right now. But I haven't looked at the weather. I used to have a connection there who I no longer have. I would have liked to have used the connection. And I'm contemplating. Don't put pressure on me. I don't like that feeling.
65 degrees, 22% chance of rain. So a pretty decent looking day.
That sounds nice.
Coming up on
Saturday.
Sounds
lovely. I asked my boy, and of course, what's the first question he asks me?
Is it going to rain?
No. Can I bring my friends?
Friend, yeah.
Friends. He went plural. He went right for plural. So then there's a financial question. I was thinking more like, hey, me and you, or let's all three of us go. My wife's been into it. I don't know what she has going on this week. So why don't I start by texting my wife right now?
I think that'd be a good first step.
Set that in motion.
I think it'd be a good first step out there. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Your advice for PK on how to get some Vanderbilt tickets as well is welcome on the text line. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up next. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
No!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Elsa. What's the snowman name?
Olaf.
This is all bullcrap, is what this is.
I do not believe in wearing sweatpants publicly.
I like the khakis. If I wear them every day, then, you know, you don't have to spend time thinking about what to wear.
I hate the V-necks. I hate how they feel.
I hate everybody.
Well, did you know the play, Paul?
That's what makes the show so good.
I do.
It's as if you're home.
She's at her home.
Like I've said before, the clubs handle it, the leagues handle it the right way. And next question.
I've got other words I can say, but I'm going to hold those off. It is time for the Rob Rant. Brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at Functional Medicine of Tennessee.
Who said the club's handling it the right way right there?
That was McCoy.
What the hell is going on? I said a simple rule.
It was just in the rant.
I like you. I think you're doing a good job. But when the talent comes in,
well,
the guest talent comes in, he makes a simple request. Now I have broken my promise to the public.
It was the rant segment.
No McCoy.
I just had to set it up.
You set up the rant, but you did that today. There's new stuff. There's current stuff. There's stuff that's 20 minutes old in there. And you owe the audience an apology for violating a sacred pledge that
hey,
we
that
made.
Was McCoy from the Chargers.
I don't care when
that
it was
from. That was old school. Next
we
question.
We promised no McCoy. I didn't say no new McCoy. I didn't say no McCoy from this date to this date. I promised the people there would be no McCoy. People, right now, I don't know who we're talking to because everyone has turned us off because we have broken our sacred vow to be McCoy free today. Now, I'm giving you the microphone, and I want you to do the right thing here.
Contrition.
I don't want any excuses about the introduction to a segment or any of that. I made a vow, and you have made me look terrible.
Contrition.
Terrible. There's only one way for you to go here, my friend, or you and I, our relationship is going a bad, dangerous direction, and you don't want to be an enemy of Paul Kuharsky when Paul Kuharsky is around a microphone.
Uh-oh.
And I have multiple podcasts and a weekly segment on this very station.
That's true.
Go.
Okay. I guess I owe you an apology.
And the city. Don't forget about the
and
city.
And the city and the listeners.
State, maybe?
Sorry.
Would you like station, to include the region?
If everybody is tuned off.
Tell people what you're
your
apologizing
Mike McCoy
for.
Drop. I had a Mike McCoy drop in the rant open, if you even caught it. Most people probably
I'll
did not.
I'll be honest
not.
With you, I didn't.
Yeah. And so.
Most people have finally tuned ears when a pledge is made.
You know, PK didn't have a rant. I think we just created one.
I'm disgusted by what just unfolded here. Disgusted, dismayed, and ashamed.
That's true. Somebody did point out, Ian said that he'd keep it in mind. He did not promise. You promised.
He promised me yesterday as a binding social contract, like an airport pickup.
A lot of people wanting to play more McCoy now.
Speaking of an airport pickup.
Hey, you got to give the people what they want.
I think you might have to now, in exchange for this,
you need to ride to the airport.
Deliver my family to the airport and back for our Thanksgiving trip. You're now my Uber driver.
Uber, for free. No charge.
Free Uber drive. Maybe we'll give you a soda.
Thank you.
You think about what you've done, young man.
I will stand here in the corner, yes.
Please do. Please
my
do.
My God. That's I feel agita.
I couldn't have worked out more swimmingly. It's yeah. beautiful.
You could hold your rant.
Well, I might
set
have,
that
might
one
have
up beautifully
to.
There.
That was awesome. Good job.
Was that a plan?
I don't think so.
That would be pretty nefarious.
Well, I did.
If
I did,
that was a plan.
I did play it. Like,
I mean, he
oh,
did
let me
have
find this
take
old
the audio
McCoy
and
drop.
Post it.
And like I recorded it earlier today. Yes, I did.
Earlier today?
Yeah.
When this was all under consideration. You're
correct.
Like an evil cartoon villain.
Oh, I play. I was like, oh, I'm going to put in an old McCoy clip here during the rant.
Set him up. It worked.
That's the eyeballs. PK just popped up. He's like, wait a minute.
That sounded, I couldn't be. No way would he do this to me. No way. After all the bonding Ian and I have done, since agreeable Ian has turned into a guy that I like.
Oh, man.
Oh,
disgusting. All right.
I might need the rest of the segment off.
You might. You might. All right, real quickly.
Like Letterman in the middle of a monologue where he bends over and puts his hands on his knees and needs to take deep breaths.
Does he still do that?
He doesn't have a show anymore.
He doesn't have his Netflix show anymore? I hadn't paid attention.
I don't know. He can't bend over like that because he'd hurt his beard would tip him over.
All right, real quickly. I want to talk to a certain section of Titans fans, and I don't know how prevalent this is, but PK, I'd appreciate your thoughts on this too. I think we need to raise our standards around here just a little bit, and here's what I mean by this. I've seen, obviously, in the aftermath of Sunday's game, a lot of discourse on the J.C. Latham front, right? We've talked a lot about Latham this week. We've talked a lot about 23 games worth of play from him at right tackle / left tackle to this point that have not lived up to being the number 7 overall draft pick from a couple years ago. And throughout some of that discourse that I've seen on social media, I have seen this type of response, in my opinion, a little bit far too often. Well, if it doesn't work out at right tackle, you could always just slide him inside and he could play guard. He could be right guard. He'd be a good right guard. I mean, if it doesn't work out at tackle, just go put him at guard. You drafted a guard at number 11 overall with Skoronski, and he's turned into a good player. How about we draft a tackle to play tackle? That's what I'd like. I'd like to, for a tackle that was drafted, particularly drafted where he's drafted, to work out and play. Now, look, people got all over me this past offseason because I had a huge problem with the Titans drafting J.C. Latham at number 7 overall to play left tackle, and they immediately switched him to right. And I said, you drafted him because you said he could play left tackle. But no, who cares? If he turns into a great right tackle, what does it matter? I said, okay, well, he better play a great right tackle. Well, he ain't a great right tackle. Maybe he eventually turns into one. We'll see. What I will not tolerate is if they say, well, we don't really think J.C. Latham's future is at tackle. We're going to move him inside to guard. No. You drafted him number 7 overall. He better be a darn good right tackle for you. Otherwise, it's a complete and utter failure of a draft pick. And I understand the person who drafted him is not here anymore, and maybe that ends up playing into this at some point. But you said it yesterday. The last thing this team needs to be doing in a year, in 2 years, heck, in 5 years. The last thing this team needs to be doing is, well, we got to go draft another left tackle because Dan Moore is not any good and We've got him for one more year. Oh, and by the way, we got to go draft a right tackle too because J.C. Latham didn't work out over there. So let's collectively raise the standard a little bit. No, it is not acceptable if J.C. Latham ends up playing guard for the Titans.
If they drafted guards at 11-7 in consecutive years, when we're talking about the depth of need at edge, at corner, at receiver, it is just incomprehensible. Yeah, you have to be good in the trenches, and yeah, it's harder and harder to find good offensive linemen, but you have to find them on the edges first. Now, they never viewed Skoronski as tackle. So, all right, if you're going to take one guard one time that high because you think he's going to be an absolutely terrific guard, I like Skoronski, and I think he's playing very well. I think he's going to be a very good guard. I still don't think he's the 11th pick in the draft. And look, he's my favorite guy in that locker room, unabashedly. I say that. I'm a Peter Skoronski guy, true blue. But I think you got to draft him 22nd, not 11th.
Right.
If Latham turns out to be a guard, that is a disaster.
Yeah.
You are absolutely right. Because then you have to replace him again. Then your guards better be the best guard duo in the league. You better re-sign them both and not need to address guard for 7 more years. And then your whole attitude has to shift away from interior line. You're going to re-sign Simmons to a long-term deal. You spent the 38th pick on an interior defensive lineman.
Yep.
All right, if you want to talk about building inside out, well, the inside part's done.
Yeah.
Inside part's absolutely done. Get outside. Get outside and get to damn work. And quite frankly, you have to reassess your priorities because inside out sounds nice and everything, but people around the league are making plays at edge.
Yep.
With receivers. And quite frankly, with cornerbacks who are stopping those receivers.
Yeah.
That's the way the league works.
And tackles who are stopping those edge rushers.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. No, but just – I don't think this is a huge subsection of Titans fans that I'm talking to, but to the ones who are coming out with, I can just play guard stuff. No. Let's raise the standards a little bit around here and hope that the 7th overall pick that you took to be a left tackle can at least play right tackle. I don't think that's too much to ask.
I'll be honest here, and you know, I get as upset with the fan base as anybody. I haven't heard as much as, well, he can just play guard, as, oh crap, it looks like he's a guard. And I think J.C. Latham needs to be challenged. I think the guy to challenge him is Mike Borgonzi. I think Mike Borgonzi needs to call him in and say, we got 7 left, and I need to see you motivated and playing your ass off to tell me that I've got a right tackle next year.
Yeah.
To tell me that when I'm bringing these coaches in, I can tell them I feel very confident that you're going to see this guy in OTAs and you're going to say, oh, yeah, we're fine at right tackle.
Yep.
And I need that to be the case. I don't have a lot to sell this guy who I'm going to hire, and I need to be able to sell him you.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. Charles Robinson with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.